Chapter 2.
Whenever I think about those last days with Skilltalker, my mind always goes back to the Devilfish, when we were on our way to Cheiron. An Imperial transport is crowded, dirty, usually stinks, and they're always hot. It's like they weren't built for people at all. A Devilfish is not like that. You'll never know unless you ride in a Chimera. I hope you don't, for your own sake, because you'll be going nowhere good. The Imperium treats aliens a lot worse than you do. We were on a Grillon, Mugolath Bay, before it was Mugolath Bay. At that time, I'd been attached to the diplomatic corps for 5 months. It had been 20 months since I'd taken up the generous offer of joining the efforts of the greater good. I'd seen a lot of things I'd never thought I'd see in that time. Most of it good, but not all of it. I'll never forget Colonel Boroth of the Ossoon Planetary Defence Force lining up for battle and then ordering his entire army to throw their weapons down to the sound of trumpets. He didn't lose a single man. But I'll also never forget the descent of the Hunter Carders onto Thelion IV when they said no. The dead there. On the face of it, the Talva, for me, it looked good. It is good. Not just in the civilian side, but in the military. Gone was my temperamental hand-me-down lasgun. We had pulse carbines, weapons worth a damn, and armour. Plating that actually might just conceivably stop a shot. And the comms, Vox equipment to make a space marine envious for me. And these toys were mighty tempting to a lot of us. Some of my squad had come over precisely because they were hungry for Tau Tech. Or because they were afraid of it. We were an odd little collection. Hinks from Gorman's Fast, like me, only a few hours left to live. Goliath, we never did get him to tell us his real name, but he was big enough for the one he'd chosen, and that was good enough for the rest of us. A pirate once, or so I heard. Holion Spar, who swore he'd run away from a rich family of rogue traders, but whose word couldn't be trusted on anything else, so I didn't trust him on that either. Helena, who came from some mudball agri-world I'd never heard of, that had been conquered half by accident. And then there was Othelia. He said he was from a human world, never brought into the Imperium. Until one day the fleets of the Master of Mankind had showed up. They say they're not interested in the light of the Emperor and all that. And that was that for his own. He hated the Imperium. I mean, really, really hated it. Now, I've seen fanaticism before. I'm not talking about the way you Tau defer to the Aon. That's instinctual. I can tell. I'm talking about fanaticism by choice. Because if there's one thing we humans do have over you, in most circumstances at least, it's choice. Mad priests, unbending officers, officials blindly following orders, they all choose to do those things. The Emperor alone knows why. But Atheliar's hatred of the Imperium, well, that was something else entirely. It scared me. He was too far gone with rage, unstable. I'd mentioned this a few times to my superiors, but I'd been gently fobbed off with, every sentient must be allowed a chance to shine, and we all contribute to the greater good in the best way we can. I feel like a fool now. There we were, Skilltalker's protection detail. Humans chosen to visit humans with the watercast. This was all plainly explained to me, to show that there really was nothing to fear from the Talva. With us was Crix, what we called him. It was as far as we could get with his name. A Kroot warrior and Skilltalker's bodyguard. Yeah, I know he was there to protect him from us as much from the enemy. We were a calculated risk, after all. What was there to stop us bolting for home when we were deep in enemy territory? That's the thinking. If you've ever lived on an Imperial planet, you'd know that wasn't going to happen. Also in the back with us there was Fiola Bork and Bui Lai Bu, a tech demonstrator. Show the natives some shiny beads, impress them with the superiority of the Tau cause. Sometimes there were others with us, sometimes there were not. It all depended on the mission. This was a dangerous mission, and so the usual assortment of other hangers-on were not present. The bare minimum membersy. Privately, I didn't rate our chances much, but skill talk, it was all smiles and polite chatter with all of us, each in our native dialect of Gothic, of course. He was never scared. I remember I asked him once if he was ever frightened. He wrinkled his nose at me and made that bubbling sound that passes for laughter in the Tau. "Jitten," he said. He always used the Tau version of my name, even though he could pronounce the human perfectly. He was making a point, except for that once. "What is there to be afraid of?" he said. "We go where we are directed for the needs of society. If I were to die, then it would be for the greater good. That is all I ask from my life, to further our glorious cause." I looked at him dubiously. He grabbed my shoulders with his wide fingers and peered into my eyes, his face an exaggerated copy of human concern. I couldn't look back for too long, and looked away. Tau eyes are so big and dark. I'm afraid I'll not be able to look away. Sometimes I think I can see stars in them. Sounds stupid, but it's the truth.
"You do not quite understand yet, friend Jitten. I can see that. You are motivated still by self-interest. Only when one forgoes the need to further one's own goals, to put behind them the need to satisfy their own desires, can one truly achieve one's greatest potential? Unity with the polity through service of the polity for the greater good. Tauva," I finished for him. He smiled and chuckled again, shaking my shoulders slightly raffishly. There was something mischievous about him. That's why I liked him, I suppose.
"You see, you know it. You know it, friend Jitten. Only by believing it will you know true satisfaction."
"I don't think I'll ever fully grasp it. Forgive me," I said. I was mindful of my words. Back then, our friendship was only slowly growing. He was my superior. He was an L. I only a La. I've never got over it. Even if I ever am made a Gwei Vesa L, same rank as he was, I think I probably feel the same. First among equals and all that. Tau come first. I can't quite shake that conquered feeling. He put his tongue out through his teeth and hissed through the gaps. Now, that was my first inkling that he and I were getting to be friends. He'd stopped mimicking purely human expression around me and behaved just a little more like a Tau.
"Do not worry, your children will understand, and that is all we ask of you. That and your loyalty."
"Oh, you have that, poor El skill talker, I swear," I said. If for no other reason than if I'd have gone back to the Imperium, I'd have been shot. You know, in mentioning children gets me thinking about it, remembering it now. I'd like to have children someday. Never thought I would, but the Tau Var is a better place for them than the Imperium ever could be. And that's got me hankering after the family life. And then I think on this. Skill Talker once told me that breeding outside of each caste is forbidden. And I wonder, how long until this rule applies to humans? How long until our best characteristics are bred true, like they are in Grox and in Tau? You asked me to be honest. Our culture's sacrosanct, so I'm told. Pair bonding, family units, freedom of choice in our spouses, the works. I've seen that honoured. But I also think on Hinx's kid, all full of the greater good. How far will he go, or his children, in embracing your ideals? You won't need to push much. We're mutable, culturally, we humans. How much, I wonder, sometimes late at night, do you really want of us? That conversation was months before the mission. By the time we were coasting at treetop height over the petrified forests of Agrellon, I was a Vray, and Skilltalker and I had taken to socialising together. We were on our way to Hive Cheron. Each of the 12 hives was getting a little visit from Watercast. Lay down your arms, embrace the greater good. No harm will come to you, blah, blah. Cheron was our mark. Now, this was a few days before O'Shasera's killing blow, but everyone always gets one last chance to surrender. And that's the way you play it. The devilfish. Quiet enough to talk in. The engines hum. It's cool. We're comfortable. Marvellous technology. Boo told me quite a lot about how it all works before he got reassigned. As much as I could understand, anyway. It's hard for me. I still half believe in machine spirits. Although I understand it's all nonsense now, it's hard to shake the faith. You'll have that problem with a lot of us. Human culture is irrational, I've been told. But I'm not so sure everything we believe is so irrational. I'll tell you something. Agrellon, Mugulath Bay, is not a good planet. Something happened there. Something really bad. All we Guevesa could feel it, like a shadow on us. I could taste it, practically, in some places. The creatures in the forests themselves. It's not a natural place. Not entirely. I heard the Nagi wouldn't come down there at all. But the Tau? Well, you're oblivious to that kind of thing. So don't lecture me quite so hard on the irrational. There's something there. I know it. Even if your kind can never feel it. Looking at my team in there, I had a foreboding that something wasn't quite right, I think. We had our helmets off. Everyone was checking their weapons. Standard drill. We barely had anything in common. Different dialects, different worlds. Except me and Hinks, that is. Different morphology, even. Skin, height, eyes, hair. Like I say, humanity's a diverse race. Us there in that back of the devilfish, we were practically a Fiola biologist's dream sample. I was thinking about Talisera. Talisera indeed. Skilltalker wouldn't stop badgering me about it. But what could have bound us together? We were too different, I told him. We'd come from too many worlds, from too many nightmares. I kept saying this to Skilltalker, and he'd kept asking me to think about it. Talisera, that is. It seemed important to him that we bond, even though the Shasar Tol had made it clear to us all the bonding ritual, any bonding ritual, was only to be undertaken if we wanted to do it. Our culture was not Tau culture. They made that clear. We could take what we wanted and ignore what we didn't like. Except, of course, the Tau Va.
That, friend Jetan, is why they were chosen. Precisely because of their differences, he'd said.
And we'd been in a Korshuto on the way to the front. The Damocles Gulf is heavily fortified after the heroic defence of Dal Eth. It was a defence installation first and foremost. But they did have a bar. We were in it. They served a passable imitation of human ale. He took a whey drink. Always made him a bit tipsy, eager to talk, even more so than normal.
Do you think it is coincidence that these people are here together under your command? You are their Guevray. Think of how the problem is for our own ethereals. Many aliens, some divided into many cultures, and the many septs of the Tau.
He closed his hands around one another.
But you see, each of my fingers is a different finger. But they all work for the good of the greater organism. Me. And I
work for the Tau Va. He mockingly saluted me with his drink. Once, the cheesy smell of it had made me gag, but I got used to it. like I've got used to so much else. I see great things for you, Guevre. This is one of many challenges for you. We must mould this La Rua and make them one. Each element individual, yes, and so they should remain, but individuals each working for the common cause.
So together we might better serve the Talva.
He smiled.
You have it.
And then he realized the full meaning of my expression and tone. An expert on human affairs, skilled talker, but sometimes slow on the uptake. Sarcasm was a tough one for him. You're all so damn sincere. Even the poor can never be the races they mimic so well. It's their biggest weakness.
Why this? This, this?
He drummed three broad fingers on the table. Cynicism is not a concept that the Tao have. I supplied the word.
Cynicism? Ah, yes.
He was delighted and became annoyed again.
The Talva is not for the Talva's sake. This you do not understand. The Talva is for my good.
He pointed at my chest.
And it is for your good. The greater good means you, me. The Fio servers here, the Naikasa, Thractions, Kroots, whomever you care to name. All who embrace it serve, and all who serve it are served by it, yes?
He seemed pleased with himself, as he often did after one of his little lectures. The beer got the better of me.
Permission to speak my mind, poor elf?
Yes, yes, by all means, friend Jatan. You should always say your thoughts. How else are we to work together properly?
You are patronizing, you know that. He understood patronizing, all right, and was offended.
I do not mean to be.
No problem. I took another drink. It was getting late. In one coon sire, the lights were dim and we would be ushered off to bed. And this is why you're so keen for me to make my team bond. He shook his head and bared his broad teeth. Grazer's teeth, I always think of them.
No, 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 Jatan. Not make, just do. Or do not. It is your choice. But I do believe that if you do undergo a Ta Lysera, it will be better for you all.
Not to fit in.
You are impossible,
he muttered to himself, and rolled his shoulders with exasperation. Amid his melodic, glottal stream of Tao no poor, I caught,
Fool Lasso.
I laughed. A mind knot? Don't tell me I'm getting to you finally.
Ha! Your Tao no poor improves, he said. You are an example, Jatan. You are ready to embrace our culture more than some of the others. It will only benefit us to have you more properly committed to our vision. And it will benefit you. It is the superior way, after all.
I didn't want to disagree. We were quiet a space. A chime sounded. The third shift would come to an end soon. The aircast had assigned third shift to us, as our activity group. They expected us to sleep now. Already another group would be waking to start their day. The space stations of the aircast are crowded.
So, have you?
He said at length. What? I said, feigning ignorance. It wasn't going to be put off.
Chosen a Ta Lysera. Surely there must be something acceptable in your culture that will stand. An oath-swearing or celebration.
There was, but I hadn't. I'm not sure why I put it off so long now. Streak of stubbornness? Not wanting to subsume myself into Tao culture entirely? Was I clinging to my old identity a little too hard? I don't know. No, I said. No, I haven't.
What are you thinking about, boss?
Goliath asked me in his guttural Gothic, bringing me back suddenly into the present of the devilfish. His pulse carbine looked laughably small in his hands. The Earthcast had given us weapons specially constructed for human physiology, but with Goliath they'd hit the upper limit of the size range. Nothing, I said. Nothing at all. I glanced at my mission clock. Suit up, people. 5 minutes to dust off. When I caught Skill Talker's eye, he was smiling. He knew what I was thinking about. I'm sure about that.